light on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to complete this morning what began on Monday, which is a reflection on the first, let's say, 10 verses or so of the second letter of St. Peter. At the beginning of the week on Monday, the church gave us this section, and it's such a rich teaching from Peter, and it truly is life-changing and dynamic, powerful, and it gives us insight into what God has done for us and then what he wants to do in us and how we can cooperate with what God is doing in us. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program so far this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net. If you do that, take some time to browse the website. You know, this past year, we built a new website, and I think it's very user-friendly. There's a lot of great stuff, and there's a lot of free stuff. There's a lot of free newsletters and booklets that are there for you. And we try to put as much material on there that can help you. You've got videos, short videos, our television programs, The Choices We Face, Crossing the Goal is there. Sister Anne's wonderful radio show, Food for the Journey, is on there as well. But we put it there. We know you're in a battle. How do we know that? Because we know we're in a battle, and we're all in this together. And we're living at a time of particularly ferocious time of spiritual conflict. There's no question about it. And so we need each other. We need the truth that comes from Christ. And we're doing everything we can, friends, to give you as much as we feel like God has given to us. And I hope you take advantage of it. As you can see, you can go on there. We've got lots of products and lots of products reasonably priced. We're not looking to build a big kingdom here and to make a fortune. We sell things, I think, very reasonable price so you can have access to them. Our main passion is to get them out there and to get them out there to you as soon as we can. So back to what we've done this week. Let me just read the verses that I've been reading all week just by way of review. And if you've been listening every day this week, bear with me. But it's great to hear these again. So beginning in verse 3, chapter 1, second letter of St. Peter. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We've been given something by God, by Christ Jesus. He's given us everything that we need that pertains to life, eternal life, and our relationship with God. Through how? Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. That's what you've been called to. Glory and excellence. To God's glory, to God's power, to God's life. And by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Peter lives with an acute awareness, a kind of constant understanding of what we've been given in Christ. And that's the joy of his life. Who Jesus is in his life. And where Jesus is leading him. He knows his life has purpose and destiny. He says that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion and become partakers of the divine nature. So he's giving you power, he's giving me power to make a break from the habit patterns of sin in our lives and the domination of the world that's so strong in us, the fallen dimension of the world, so he can make us a new creation and lead us to this reality, his promise, that we will become partakers of God's own nature. We'll share the divine life. Wow. Verse 5, for this very reason then, because you're called to this and you know this is who you are, cooperate with Jesus, because what he's going to do is he's going to lead you to holiness and to Christ-likeness and lead you to that freedom of what it means to be a son or daughter of God. Again, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Now, Peter's exhortation, what's of first importance is what God has done for us, no question. But what's of nearly equal importance is what we're supposed to do to exercise our freedom, our will, our imagination, our desire, our passions toward those promises of Christ and to surrender ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit who Jesus has given to us to bring us into a new way of living, to conform us to the person of Jesus, to help us put off the old way that was dominated by his passions and to put on the new life that Jesus calls each one of us to live. The church calls that the call to holiness, love of God, love of neighbor, translated into daily practical living. So he's saying make every effort. There's real work involved on our part. The application of our mind, will, our imagination, and our emotions, directing our whole person to God's plan and purpose for us. I think sometimes people feel like, well, it's all God. Jesus said, you can't do anything without me. And that's true. Without me, you can do nothing. But he doesn't say, do nothing. He's saying, surrender your whole life to me. Lay down your life for me. Unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. So making every effort includes saying no to our passions and to our thinking and ways of living that are inconsistent with God's plan and purpose, that would undermine God's plan for us. So it takes effort every day to work out your faith, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, as St. Paul tells us. This work is a cooperation. God has made us free. And through this freedom, we can learn to love him and express that love. He teaches us how to love and love like he did. Okay, so we're making every effort then to supplement our faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. I spoke yesterday in particular about this section. If you're interested to go ahead and you can tune in the program there on the website. Just one word about that, that the whole idea of self-control is so antithetical to the pattern of life of this world and how our culture lives. We've really lost our minds, friends, on this one. We're made to conform our life to Christ, and the world hates that idea. Conforming my life to anybody, to anything other than what I want, forget it. Forget it. I'm here. There's no ultimate meaning to this world anyway. Every one of us has got this window, and I'm going for it, and I'm going to define reality in whatever way I want, however I want, because I want to be happy as I understand it. And the only way for me to be happy is for me to be free. And the only way for me to be free is for me to be able to design my own meaning, is to design the purpose and destiny of my own life, period. That's it. So God, religion, whatever, is imposition to contemporary, this postmodern world's idea of what it means to find happiness in this world. God gets in the way. God screws up my plans. God inhibits me from finding freedom and happiness. That's the darkened mind that's at work in this world. That's why so many people are walking away from the church, so many people are throwing off the church. Yeah, I understand as well people are doing it because they're frustrated with the church, they're frustrated with the sins of leadership and all that. I get that. But that should never cause us to walk away from Christ and what Christ has established on the earth. That's just insanity. I think that's just an excuse for a lot of people to not want to be responsible to God. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, with who we want to do it, period. That's it. That's the world. That's not self-control. So you can't have happiness. You can't have virtue without happiness. You're not going to have virtue without self-control. And it's not just willpower. It's surrendering to the Holy Spirit that gives us freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom to live a new way of life. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, that is what I just read, all these different characteristics of virtue and fruit of the Spirit and the like. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is important. Jesus talked a lot about bearing fruit. He said it's really important. There's a section it's worth just meditating on in the Gospel of John 15, chapter 15. I'm going to read a good chunk of it here. He said, this is Jesus. He said, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. That is the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus calling them to discipleship, to repentance, to new life. And as they've said yes to it, they come into the forgiveness of their sins in Christ, and he cleanses them. He prunes from them just the stuff that needs to be pruned from our life, right? The passions of the flesh we've been talking about. The habit patterns of sin that lead us away from Christ, the unfruitful way of living gets cut off. He said, you are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Another reason, friends, why it's so important to read the word of God every single day. This word prunes us, cleanses us, examines our hearts, and gives us a new capacity to live in greater freedom. He said, therefore, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Fruit bearing in Christ, fruitfulness, as Peter's talking about here, it's only possible if we're really rooted in Christ and we're abiding in him through the Holy Spirit. We're living in communion with Jesus on a daily basis, walking with him, loving him, praying each day, receiving the graces of the sacraments, engaged in Jesus' mission. This is how we live with Jesus. And as we live with him, he's going to bear fruit through us. He who abides in me, he said, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And as many preachers love to say, you look up the meaning of nothing. What does it mean? It means nothing. We cannot do any kind of genuine spiritual fruit bearing that will pass from this world into the kingdom without the help of Jesus Christ. We simply can't do it. If a man does not abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is a really sobering teaching by Jesus here. He's saying, if you're not abiding in me, you're going to be a branch that withers and fades. You're not going to be able to produce God's life, the very thing for which you've been made. If you're abiding in the world, in the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and its desire for fame and for pleasure-seeking and for power and influence, all that kind of stuff, and it's ego-centered, it's me-centered, it's selfish, and the rest of it, if that's where you're rooted, you're going to wither and fade, and God the Father is going to have you picked up and thrown into the fire. And if I do that, me too. So there's real meaning to this. We live with a presumption in our culture that we can live any way we want to, and God's cool with it. It's crazy. It's insane. It's not the teaching of Jesus Christ. He goes on, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Another reason to have the word of God alive in us, to know who Jesus is, to know Jesus' words and his promises to us. So we can pray in the will of God. We can pray in the way Jesus wants us to pray. So he can give to us. When our hearts change, we start to want what God wants. Before that happens, we want what we want. And we constantly pray, if we pray at all, we pray for what we want. We're preoccupied by our own desires. When we come into Christ in the Spirit, the old man, that self-centered ego thing in us that puts me first, gets put to death. And I start to want what God wants. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And as we want what God wants, we begin to pray in God's will, and the Lord gives to us what we want. Now, this is an important verse here too, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. How is God glorified? How is God glorified? Through your fruit bearing. You're made to bring glory to God. How does that happen? By being united to him in his Son Jesus and the power of the Spirit, walking in his wisdom and his plan, doing just what the apostles are teaching us, obeying his commands, loving what God loves. And if we do that and we surrender to him, we give him permission. Here's something that's so hard for so many in the world. We give him a little bit of our life. You're not going to bear fruit until you give him everything, friend. Put Jesus at the center of your life. Give him permission to make something beautiful out of you that will last, and he will bear fruit in you that will last. That's what Peter says to us here. He says, for whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more zealous to confirm your call and your election. If you do this, you will never fall, he says. Friends, be zealous. Be passionate. Be committed. Awaken that faith in your heart and apply your heart, mind, and will to the will of God. Surrender to Jesus. He'll bear fruit that will literally last for all eternity for the glory of God. Amen. Have a great weekend, friends.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.